Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us once again on Lit Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Thea. Today, we have Nicole Soames with us to talk about her latest book, The Emotional Intelligence Book. Nicole is a highly qualified coach and emotional intelligence practitioner. She is the founder of Diadem, a leading commercial skills training and coaching company. Nicole is also the best-selling author of the Negotiation Book, the Influence Book, the Presenting Book, and the Coaching Book, all part of the Concise Advice series from Lit Publishing. In the Emotional Intelligence Book, Nicole shows you how to develop your self-awareness, social skills, self-management, and ambition in order to cope with and succeed in your work and personal life. Hi, Nicole. Thanks very much for joining us today on Lit Radio Podcast. I'm very excited to speak with you about your fifth book now, the Emotional Intelligence Book. But before we discuss that in more depth, let me ask you a little bit to tell us a little bit about your background and how you became so passionate about emotional intelligence, and then how that ultimately led you to writing the book.
Thank you, Thea. And I'm really excited to be on Lid Radio today. Look, I believe that emotional intelligence is your biggest and greatest differentiator. I often describe emotional intelligence as the catalyst that will accelerate your success, whatever your walk of life. And as a trainer and a coach and an emotional intelligence practitioner myself, I'm fortunate enough to have my own personal toolkit that helps and has helped me develop my own emotional intelligence. Look, I'm by no means perfect, but I try very hard to put the theory that I know and understand into practice so that I am the best version of myself, which is why I'm so determined to help other people. And that's really the passion behind and the reason why that I wrote the book, because I wanted to share my knowledge and my expertise with others, because it's helped me so much. And I really want to encourage and inspire and provoke people to want to develop their own emotional intelligence so they can lead the most successful life possible.
Yeah, that's fascinating. But could you define for us what emotional intelligence exactly is and why is it so important?
Absolutely. And I think it's one of those topics that people don't really understand, they've heard about, but because it isn't as tangible as other technical skills, people sort of push it to one side. So look, fundamentally, emotional intelligence is a set of emotional and social skills that are most effective at influencing others. So in other words, that's about your ability to recognize and manage your own emotions and those of others. So that's why it doesn't really matter what you do in life. We all need emotional intelligence to understand ourselves, to influence others, and to have the right perspective. And all of that sounds easy. The what of it is easy, but the how you can cultivate and become more emotionally intelligent is actually much more challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. And you did say that some people don't really understand what emotional intelligence is. And then some of them might not even realize that they're lacking it. So could you share with us, what are the signs that one needs to work on their emotional intelligence? What difficulties are we likely to face in our work and in our personal lives if we are lacking emotional intelligence?
And that's so interesting, that this whole kind of lack of awareness. So I actually believe that most people will be able to spot lack of emotional intelligence than emotional intelligence itself. So, and it starts with this kind of whole concept of lack of awareness. When people have low levels of self-awareness, they might struggle to work out and recognize and sort of have their finger on their emotional pulse and understand their own emotions and their own feelings. And if they don't understand their emotions and they don't understand how their emotions affect their behaviors, it's very difficult for them to understand that that might have an impact on other people. So if you don't know your own feelings and your own emotions and where those come from, how can you possibly understand the emotions of others? And people with low levels of self-awareness tend to, doesn't always result like this, but people tend to lack empathy. They tend to struggle to build meaningful relationships. And these are the things that tend to show up in the workplace. So low levels of self-awareness might also make people not necessarily have a good work-life balance and a strong sense of well-being. So they might be sort of demotivated. So you've got to try and understand what is triggering these feelings. People with low awareness might be surprised at their reaction to something, but not in the moment, after the fact. So those are the signs that you might typically see: clumsy and clunky with relationships, not really able to listen and understand others, surprised at their own reactions to things, and not being able to identify what their emotions are and be able to put those emotions into words, and also being able to understand how those emotions affect those behaviors.
Yeah, it's very interesting you say that some people can't really understand their own feelings. So why do you think that is? Why people are struggling with even understanding themselves?
I think that happens because they just lack that self-awareness and they've not done the work. You've got to do the work. So that's why starting with understanding yourself is the cornerstone of becoming more emotionally intelligent. So in order for you to be able to understand the impact you have on others, you need to tune in and recognize and understand your own emotions so that you can process and almost become a detective to try and work out what's making me feel like this, and therefore what's making me behave like this. So if you don't have a sense of that, how can you possibly understand others and the impact that you may have? So that has to be the starting point, to get clarity on what your values are, understand what motivates you, so that you can work out how you can get started. So being able to take time to reflect on this stuff, and it's hard to do, which is why it is useful to have a coach, or if you haven't got a coach, to really hold the mirror up and look into the mirror and try and work out who am I really? What makes me tick? What makes me feel the way I feel? And I've included lots of strategies and lots of tools that are easy to access in the book to help people work out what their blind spots might be, help them work out what they like, what they don't like, what might make them tick, what may possibly trigger them to feel certain emotions. It's really hard to work on this stuff because the challenge is there's no language in that part of our brains. So we have to force language in by really reflecting and looking in the mirror. And there's some, as I say, some good tools in the book to help people do that.
Yeah, definitely. And now let's talk a little bit about the contents of the book. In the first part, you talk exactly about knowing yourself. So, Nicole, what can we do to know ourselves better?
Well, as I was saying, it's really important that you tune into those emotions, that you start to reflect on who is the real you, and understand what your blind spots may be. You might actually go and ask for some feedback from the people who know you best, because if you've got blind spots and you don't know what you don't know, it can be a really useful source of insight to get a perspective from how other people may feel about working with you or being around you. But that can be quite scary to get that feedback. But that would be the starting point. And the first part of the book is all about how do I really deepen my understanding of myself. Very often people have not explored this. They just crack on with their careers. They invest effort and energy and time into understanding the what part of their role in work and in life. And they spend less time, because it's harder, focusing on themselves.
Mm. And then in the second part of the book, you talk about managing yourself. And in that part, one of the chapters focuses on controlling your emotions. The, some people find that very difficult. So how can we do that? How can we control our emotions better?
And that is such an interesting topic when we talk a lot about stress and well-being and mental health issues. So often when people think about emotional intelligence, they really think just about the others connection. So empathy and social skills and relationships. And very often the whole role of self-control and how critical it is to building a successful life sort of gets pushed to one side. So if you have lower levels of self-control yourself, it may be that you fly off the handle in certain situations, or you struggle to meet deadlines, or you feel overwhelmed and you can't calm your mind, or you may duplicate effort. And this is often, the self-control is very connected to the self-knowing. So if you don't know you feel those things, you might end up in this kind of vicious circle. So when we are measured and calm, we can think rationally, we can make a logical decision. You know, if you're panicking, you can't think straight. So it sounds very obvious when we're having a nice conversation like this that yes, what you need to do is manage yourself, put your feet on the ground, understand what your triggers are. But that can be hard to do in the moment. So we've got to create bandwidth so that we can handle these stressful situations. So strategies that are really helpful to people are to say to yourself, look, I'm going to respond, not react, because a reaction is very knee-jerk. You know, take a breath before. Like, it doesn't need to take very long to just take a deep breath, steady yourself, to calm your brain so that then you can think rationally. Strategies like reminding yourself, okay, this is just a temporary situation, or focusing on the bigger picture to just like zoom out instead of zooming in, can help de-stress and decompress. Another great thing to do is to take yourself out of it and of the situation and depersonalize it, and just generally proportionate reactions to proportionate situations. You know, don't sweat the small stuff. Very often we invest so much effort and energy into inconsequential events. So a lot of self-control is about being disciplined, being rigorous, managing your emotions. And over time, you can find yourself being able to stay calmer for longer. But that whole philosophy of just respond, don't react, all of those little strategies sit underneath that heading, in my view.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And apart from self-control, in that part of the book, you also discuss the importance of self-reliance. So why is that also vital?
Well, self-reliance, we're so challenged with self-reliance today. There are people whose role is, they're even called influencers. You know, everyone's trying to make our decisions for us. And I just think it's so important that you have the ability to back yourself, to take accountability for your own thoughts, your own emotions, your own feelings. And you can see how this all links back to that self-knowing and that self-awareness piece. So the thing is that people who are able to make their own independent decisions have a high level of self-reliance and self-assurance. They take initiative, they back their own ideas, they make an independent decision. And that makes for a kind of grounded, confident person who is able to take charge and be in control. Whereas people with lower levels of self-reliance shy away from making decisions. They ask other people to take responsibility for their decision makers. Maybe they're people pleasers. But if they're people pleasers and not taking responsibility for their own decisions, they're not directing their life. So how can they possibly live the best life for themselves and be the best version of themselves? So that self-reliance thing is about backing yourself so that you can be self-directed and carve out your own pathway.
Yeah, definitely. And then now I will move to the third part of the book, which you call Navigating the World Around You. In this part, you mentioned work-life balance. So that is a topic that's been widely covered in media and talked about in the recent years. But what does it have to do with emotional intelligence, and why is it important?
Look, a core component of emotional intelligence is this sense of fulfillment and sense of self-actualization. And you can't live a balanced life if you don't know what your own potential is and you're not committed to trying to strive and drive for your own potential. So to live that meaningful, successful life and be the best version of yourself, you need to make sure that you have a balance in your life that works for you. And everybody's balance is going to be different to the next person's balance. So by drawing on what makes you tick and what is important for you and identifying your values and how you want to spend your time can be very motivating, actually. So it's about managing your time and making the most effective use of it. So there's a great tool in the book called the Wheel of Life that helps you articulate and document what would be the right balance within my life. And you can actually divide up and categorize activities, I suppose, and time spent into 8 categories. Things like your business, your job, your finances, your health, maybe friends and family, your intimate relationships, personal development, lifestyle, spiritual growth, learning. Those are the main categories that we spend time on during our waking hours. And what is important is that you prioritize enough time for each one of these, because if you don't allow yourself time for fun and relaxation, or you don't allow yourself time enough to have an outlet and do exercise, you then don't have a balance of life, a balance across all aspects of your life. And over time, that can have an impact on your motivation and your energy, and then you get into a negative spiral. I think one of the things that are challenging is we can sit here, you and I, and work out your work-life balance, my work-life balance. But in the moment, that might be what it is and it looks right, calibrated for today. But over time, your priorities will change depending on your situation and your circumstances. So I think it's really important that you regularly check in with your work-life balance so that you feel balanced and motivated and have enough energy to deal with the ebb and flow and the challenges that life throws at us.
Yeah, I found this part of the book very interesting, I have to say. And I really like what you're saying about regularly checking in with your work-life balance. Yeah, which I think is a must for many people.
Like being disciplined enough to do the work and to reflect on those things takes that self-reliance, because that's about making an independent decision on where I want to spend and deploy my time and effort and energy. And it also links them back to the self-knowing. So these things, that's the whole point about emotional intelligence. It's the interconnectivity of all these skills. They're not just individual skills. They come back together. And it's an intelligence like all the other intelligences, which is why we have to really reflect on them and understand the complexity of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I will move to the next part of the book, which is about relationships. So what set of skills are needed here to be able to form genuine connections with others?
Well, I'm a massive believer in relationships and people by people. And in order for us to be successful in life, humans are social creatures, right? We need really good relationships around us so that we can go through the journey of life. Building relationships is core to success, I think. So how do we do it? It's really about treating another person as an equal, expecting to be treated, therefore, as an equal by the people, you know, by the other person, so that you can work together effectively and get stuff done, so that neither party feels like the servant to the master in that relationship. And it's also about earning trust, so that you can build a lasting relationship and it's mutually beneficial to both parties. You know, if one party is benefiting from the relationship more than the other, it just won't last the test of time. And that takes empathy and understanding. Now, empathy is often confused with sympathy, which sounds quite similar. But empathy is not about feeling sorry for the other person. Empathy is about understanding things from their point of view. It's about not imagining how you would feel if you were them, but actually putting yourself in their shoes and understanding how they feel with the challenges they're facing. And if you can do all of that, you and have the skill to be able to listen and tune in and read the room, you will be able to form those connections with other people. So the other piece that's really important is people want to understand, like they want to deal with people who are transparent and authentic. So being straightforward and saying what you mean and meaning what you say, and not playing games and being open and honest, helps build those relationships. So you've got to have all of those ingredients. You've got to have the ingredients of being able to be able to cultivate a good quality relationship. You've got to have empathy and ability to listen and understand things from the other person's point of view and be able to communicate on an honest, straightforward, assertive way, so that people know where they stand. If they don't know where they stand, it causes confusion, misunderstandings, and that's how you end up with lack of trust. So relationships are fundamental to being, you know, living a successful life and feeling valued and being valued.
Absolutely, they're very important in our both work and personal lives. And then the final, the fifth part of the book is titled Living Life with Emotional Intelligence. And one of the chapters here is about tracking your progress. So, Nicole, how can someone keep track of the progress they're making once they start working on developing the skills that they need to develop their emotional intelligence?
I'm such a believer, Taya, in what gets measured gets done. As I was saying before, this is an intelligence. You can't just expect it to happen if you don't do the work. But very often people refer to EQ, emotional intelligence, as soft skills. Actually, I think it's much harder to acquire and to develop than the more technical skills. So changing your behaviors, which are probably hardwired in your brain, is easy to say but hard to do, which is why I think it is so important that you break it down into bite-sized chunks, you do all the exercises, you get a coach to help you. This is really hard work to do on yourself. So try and find strategies that work for you. Maybe think about, what is it that I can start? What am I doing that I'm already doing that's helping, and how could I continue to do that? What are the things that I maybe need to stop doing, like reacting instead of responding? Start making notes of these things. And the more you do that, if master one of those things and then pick up the next thing to try and build your confidence and competence that you are emotionally intelligent or more emotionally intelligent than you think. Have like strategies of going into a challenging situation with a plan. You know, if you fail to plan to fail. So going in with a plan to a challenging situation with strategies on, right, this is how I'm going to manage myself. This is how I'm going to stay calm in the moment. This is how I'm going to notice my triggers. So if you have a plan, you can then go in consciously to that situation. Then you have the situation, and importantly afterwards, reflect on what happened. And then what worked, what would I want to change if I could go through that situation again? And slowly over time, if you do the work, you will get better. If you don't do the work, you can't expect to get better. It's a little bit like a muscle in sport. If you want to be stronger, you've got to flex those muscles and you've got to work at developing your fitness. So journaling is a really good strategy. Writing it down works. Getting a coach, having somebody who can support you. It's not going to happen overnight. You've got to be in it for the long haul.
Yeah, definitely. And then my final question to you is, could you give us your top three tips for anyone who is listening to us today and want to start developing their emotional intelligence? What are the first three steps that they need to take towards that?
Obviously, I would say this, but step one would be to actually go out and buy the book. It's a something to hold in your hand to have you as you develop your emotional intelligence. So step one, I would say, is buy the book and be brave and front-footed and adopt a growth mindset. Nobody's perfect. Literally nobody's perfect. None of us are the finished article. And the more you commit to time to spend developing yourself, actually, that is a way of building up your emotional capital or your emotional assets. So that would be step one. Step two would be to really, as I said at the beginning and during this whole conversation, really the key and the cornerstone to becoming more emotional intelligent is to be more aware, develop that self-awareness. So it is only by really understanding your emotions and how your emotions affect your behaviors in all of these topics that we've discussed, it's only by focusing in on those that you are going to be able to make the strides and develop this skill in bite-sized chunks to go on this journey. And thirdly, I would say set yourself goals. This is the disciplined part. You need to set yourself goals that are can go into this journal, things that you can plan so that you can then measure your achievement against them. You know, sustained behavior change comes from making things easy for yourself, practicing things relentlessly and normalizing it, but also making sure that when you reflect back afterwards, you understand how by adopting X, Y, and Z, this has helped me live a maybe more balanced life, and what's that given me? And by asking yourself these questions and measuring and documenting this stuff, you will be able to cultivate more emotional intelligence and therefore be the best version of yourself. And we get one life. We get one life. It's not a dress rehearsal. So let's make the most of the time that we have.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks very much, Nicole, for sharing those tips. And I would encourage our listeners to go and buy the book, the Emotional Intelligence book, because it's a very short and concise book, but it gives such a profound advice on how to develop our emotional intelligence. So thanks very much for taking the time to speak with me today, Nicole. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Likewise, I've really enjoyed it. And I hope the listeners have taken away some strategies that can help them today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thanks everyone for listening. Don't forget to keep an eye on our social media at Lit Publishing on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and at Lit Business Media on LinkedIn for more information about new books and podcasts with thought leaders. We are now also on TikTok, so make sure you follow us at Lit Publishing. See you next time on Lit Radio Podcast.